Expressing God's Love, a ministry of St. Matthew's Baptist Church. This morning, Pastor Greg Barr starts a new sermon series. It's entitled Holy Spirit. His message, Who is the Holy Spirit? Now from St. Matthew's Baptist Church, here's Minister with Children, David Girard.
Well, good morning. Welcome to worship at St. Matthew's Baptist Church. Every year on Selection Sunday, I find myself being thankful that my relationship with God is not based on my performance. Instead, it is a gift from God based on God's love for me and for you. It's all about grace. Today, we hope that our worship service will push us further toward that understanding and help us better line our lives up with this amazing reality of God's plan for our lives and God's love and grace for us. So I'm glad you're here, especially if you're a guest. Right now, pray with me. God, thank you for the opportunity that you've given us today to be here and to worship together. And on a day when a lot of us are thinking about basketball and about what it means to be chosen and to be selected, God, I thank you that you have loved us and that you have chosen us, not because of who we are and what we've done, but because of who you are and what Jesus has done. So I pray today that you'd help us come to a better understanding of that amazing truth and line our lives up with that reality, which can change our lives forever. So use this hour toward that end. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing compares. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free. And my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere.
Father, we claim your presence among us this morning, the Holy Spirit in this place. And as we learn more in these next few weeks about what that means in our lives, to have the Holy Spirit presence in our life, God, may we feel it. May we sense your presence among us as we sing, as we worship, as we listen to you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Let's pray together. God, help us to trust you to guide us. Sometimes trusting you, God, means doing what's very obvious and right in front of us, but we need the courage to step into. Sometimes trusting you means that we have to follow you into uncertain places we've never been before. And we need guidance and direction to take the next step. And sometimes trusting you, God, means going into places and to places that we don't really want to be. And we need the assurance of your direction and your presence. Give us confidence, God, that if you lead us, that if you guide us, that we can follow you. Trusting that that we won't go into those places, we won't go anywhere alone, but your Spirit will be with us. Your word tells us that even in the darkest places, you are there. Even in the valley of the shadow of death, David said, he could find you. We can find you. That your rod and your staff will protect us and guide us. And if you're present there, where will you not be that our journey will take us? So help us to trust you enough to follow you, to simply say yes to your leadership. Through Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, last week we shared communion together, a high and holy moment for us. Anytime we're able to do that, we came together to remember the sacrifice of Jesus. Communion reminds us of our sin, the reason Christ had to die. And it also reminds us of God's love, that we were worth dying for. Now, as Baptists, we call communion an ordinance. We don't refer to it as a sacrament because we don't believe that it was a means of grace. But we call it an ordinance because it was ordained. It was instituted by Jesus himself during his life and his ministry. And we find the account of that in Luke chapter 22, verses 19 through 20, as Jesus gathered with his disciples to share a final meal before his arrest. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and he gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." Now, while Luke summarizes the events of the evening and tells us something about the institution of the Lord's Supper, John goes into a great deal of detail about everything that happened over the course of that night. He doesn't talk about the meal itself, but he spends from chapter 13 to 17 talking about all that happened that night. And he gives us a picture of Jesus pouring out his heart for his disciples and praying for us as well. And in John 14, listen to these words that Jesus spoke during his final discourse. "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him, for he lives in you, and he will be with you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you will also live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. All of this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I've said to you." And so even though Jesus would no longer physically be present on earth, Jesus promised that he would not leave us alone. That his Spirit, that the Spirit of God would be with us, that he would be with us in the presence of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we're going to talk about in the next several weeks. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, is certainly important to us here at St. Matthew's Baptist Church. Every week we come to worship here surrounded by these magnificent windows One tells the story of creation, one the story of redemption, and the third tells the story of God's continued work in the world. And in every one of these windows is the symbol of the Holy Spirit, the dove. You can see it in the middle of the tree there. You see it behind the cross, the wings of the dove spread out behind the cross in the redemption window, and at the top of the window depicting God's work in our world. And so every week when we come to worship, we're surrounded by these images of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit as dove is found in the story of Jesus' baptism in Matthew chapter 3. Picking up in verse 16, we read, "As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. And at that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, 'This is my Son, whom I love. With him, I am well pleased.'" And so even though we acknowledge the presence of the Holy Spirit and we come to worship every week surrounded by the symbols of the Holy Spirit, the truth is that for many of us and for many other Christians, the Holy Spirit is little more than a mystery to us. As A.W. Tozer says in his classic book, The Mystery of the Holy Spirit, he wrote that when the average Christian thinks of the Holy Spirit, he's likely to imagine a nebulous substance like a wisp of invisible smoke, which is said to be present in churches and to hover over good people when they die. Now, it's not hard for us to imagine God as Father, because even if we're not a father, we've had a father, or we at least have an idea of what a father should be. It's not even difficult for us to imagine God as Son, because he became flesh and blood and made his dwelling place among us. And so we have these gospel accounts in which we can read through the gospels and we can get a mental image of what it looked like when Jesus was interacting with other people. But the Holy Spirit is more of a mystery to us. We don't really have an image of it in our head, what the Holy Spirit might look like. And so we're left to imagine through symbols like a dove or wind or fire. And so we're going to take a few weeks and see if we can bring some clarity to what we understand about the Holy Spirit. And so this morning we're going to start in the beginning. We're going to start in the beginning because the Holy Spirit has been around from the beginning. The Holy Spirit is eternal. Listening to the opening words of our Bible. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." So God's eternal. And God is revealed to us in three ways: as Father, as Son, and as Holy Spirit, the Trinity. We've sung about it this morning. And the Trinity is also a difficult concept for us to get our heads around. That the three are one, that we're talking about one God revealed to us in three ways. Because if we're not careful, we fall into one of two fallacies. The first is that we fall into tritheism, where we act as if we have three gods: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Three distinct gods. And the other is an error called modalism, which means that we have the sense that God is one, but God shifts forms throughout history. Instead, we affirm, as the most famous prayer perhaps in the Old Testament tells us, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your strength." God is one. There's only one God, but God revealed God's self to us in three ways: as Father, as Son, and as Holy Spirit. And so when Jesus came to earth, he claimed, "I and the Father are one." Not simply that we're of the same mindset, but literally what he said when he said, "I and the Father are one," is that we are of the same essence. We are of the same substance. We're made of the same stuff. And then Jesus, while he was here on earth, did things that only God could do. He forgave sin. He stilled the waves. He calmed the storm. Even nature itself was under his control. And while Jesus was with us here on earth, he promised his followers that they would receive the Holy Spirit. And just as he promised, it happen. And so in John 16, Jesus told his followers, "But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will come and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine." And that is why I said, the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. In other words, what Jesus is saying there is that we're not freelancing. We're not just making it up as we go. We're not just speaking the thoughts that are in our mind, but Father, Son, and Spirit are in perfect harmony, of the same essence, made of the same stuff, with the same mind. We're working in unity. We're glorifying one another. The three in one. The three are distinct, but not separate. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. These are the three names that God has given us to help us understand how God works in our world. And so the challenge for us is, and it's always been, how do we understand that? How can we put that in some kind of language that we can understand? And so in the second century, Tertullian said that God is like a plant, with the Father as the deep root, the Son as the shoot that breaks through the earth, and the Spirit flowers forth to spread beauty and fragrance in the world. Anselm in the 11th century said, God is like the spring that flows into the stream that flows into the lake. That the three are one. And so we try to find images and we try to find analogies, ways of helping us understand what it's like that the three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, are still one. It's not accurate, for example, to say that God is like a big pizza with three slices, right? Even though it's moving toward lunchtime. And since some of your moms are gone, you didn't get breakfast. But the problem with that kind of analogy is that when you pick up a slice of pizza, you've only got a third of the pizza, right? When you pick up a slice of pizza, you're not talking about the whole anymore. You're only talking about a third. And so as William Gruden suggests, the being of each person is equal to the whole being of God. And so when we talk about Father, we're not talking about a third of God. We're talking about the wholeness of God as the Father. When we talk about the Son, we're not talking about a third of God. We're talking about the fullness of God as Son. And when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we're not talking about a third of God. We're talking about the fullness of God, the whole being of God. The Father did not become the Son, who then became the Holy Spirit. There was never a time when the three didn't exist, when the Godhead did not exist. It's eternal. In terms of our understanding of the Holy Spirit, we also need to understand that the Holy Spirit is a person. Sometimes we refer to the Holy Spirit as an it, right? Because it just seems natural to us. I mean, we understand, again, Father and Son and the language of persons, but Holy Spirit is a bit more nebulous. And so sometimes people refer to the Holy Spirit as an it. But the Holy Spirit is not an it, it's a who. The Holy Spirit is a person, and we experience the Holy Spirit personally. Remember the words of Jesus in John 14, 26, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all of these things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you." He will teach you all things, not it will teach you. He will teach you all things. And so the Holy Spirit is a person whom we can know personally. The challenge for us, once again, is to find a way to describe the work of the Holy Spirit. Who is the Spirit in our world? And that's what we're going to be working on for the next several weeks. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit is like the wind. In John 3, verse 8, Jesus said to Nicodemus, "The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. And so it is of everyone born of the Spirit." You can't see the wind, but you can feel its effects. You can see its effects. If you go outside on a nice spring day, and feel a gentle breeze. You can feel it against your face. You can't see the air molecules, but you can feel the breeze against your face. If you go outside after a fierce storm or during a fierce storm looking out your window, you can't see the wind, but you can see the tree that was uprooted by the wind. We can't see the wind, but we can see its effects. And the same is true of the Holy Spirit. We can't see the Holy Spirit, but we can see the effect of the Holy Spirit on the lives of people. And so over the next several weeks, we're going to talk about some of the ways the Holy Spirit works in our lives. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit as a comforter. We're going to talk about how the Holy Spirit guides and directs our lives. We're going to talk about how the Holy Spirit convicts us and convinces us of our sinfulness and our need for a Savior. We may even talk about how the Holy Spirit gifts us, how the Holy Spirit is a giver and gives us wonderful gifts that we use then to bless others. But for now, I want you to know that God loves you. God loves you very deeply. God loves you as if you're the only one God had to love. And God longs to have a relationship with you. Jesus came to demonstrate God's love for us, even to the point of sacrificing his own life for the sake of our sin, for yours and mine. And as we experience him, the Holy Spirit works in and through us to bring glory to God, to challenge us, to grow us, to take us to new places for his glory and for our sake. And so in the weeks ahead, I hope the Holy Spirit becomes real to you in new ways. That you begin to see things that you haven't seen before. That the Spirit calls you to new things and creates a confidence in you that leads you to bold directions, to take on great challenges for his sake and for yours. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Fill this place. Fill our lives with your glory. Let's pray. God, we are so grateful that you've never left us alone, but that your Spirit is here. Even as the disciples saw Jesus in flesh and blood, saw God making his dwelling place among them and had an opportunity to pray with them and to learn from him and in face-to-face encounters. And we think what an amazing thing that was. But your Spirit is still here. And we can still experience you in a very personal and real way. So God, in these next few weeks, I pray that you'll make your Spirit come alive in us. That we'll see things and learn things. That we'll grow in ways that we haven't grown before. Holy Spirit, burn within us like fire. Transform us and change us to be instruments of your change in this world. Through Christ we pray. Amen.
listening to Experiencing God's Love, a ministry of St. Matthew's Baptist Church. This morning, you may have reached a decision concerning your personal relationship with God, or you may want to find spiritual guidance for your life. Contact us this week at 502-896-8882 or online at smbclouisville.org. St. Matthew's Baptist Church is conveniently located between Breckenridge and Cannons Lanes at 3515 Grandview Avenue. Join us for worship in person this morning. Bible study for all ages starts at 9:15 and worship in the sanctuary at 10:30. If that's not possible, then join us here next week at 7 for Experiencing God's Love from St. Matthew's Baptist Church, where we're loving and leading people into a growing relationship with God.